Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Charlie with Blog Talk Radio, American Statesman, Monday evening. Today we would like to talk about the Constitution of the United States and our flag, the United States Flag Code. These are two items that are very dear, should be very dear to all of our hearts, because the flag is the emblem of the United States of America. It represents each and every American whenever and wherever it is being flown. And proper respect should be given the flag of the United States, for it also represents the death of over 100,000 brave men and women during World War II. And over the course of the years, it represents over 1.1 million brave men and women who died for our freedom. This is something that a lot of people don't know and realize. Your freedom is not free. It costs a lot of lives so that you could do what you're doing today. So be very careful, because there are people who like to become dictators, like Hitler, and they want to take away your freedom. Now there's even talk about Sharia law in the United States. That means every American woman would have to be subservient to their husband, walking behind them. Now, how many of you women out there would like to walk behind your husband? And also, they have different laws too in regards to rape victims. They would rather kill the woman and stone them to death than to go after the man who did the raping. Is that the kind of freedom you want to give up? Do you want to give up your freedom to have that kind of a lifestyle? Or like Hitler, gassed and burned Christians, Jews, and anybody that he thought was an inferior race. And he put them in the ovens. And why did he do that? Because he wanted to build a master race. And eventually, because of all of the dedication and those who loved this great country, America, they also loved the flag of the United States. And that's why we patriotic Americans display our flag, honor it, and say the Pledge of Allegiance to it, because it represents our freedoms. Freedoms that were fought for with blood, the blood of the patriots, all the way from the beginning of time in the United States of America. And what is your job? Your job is to actually make sure that you take care of the flag and do what is right by it. Honor it, display it properly, and when other people don't display it properly, bring it to their attention, because they may just be making a mistake. Now, some of the facts about the flag of the United States that a lot of people may not know is like how to display it during formal occasions. Parades and reviews. In parades or reviews, at the moment the flag passes by, all non-uniformed persons, the citizens of the United States, should stand at attention facing the flag with their right hands over their hearts. Persons in military uniform should face the flag and render the military salute. In processions, the flag should be to the right of the marchers. When other flags are included, the U.S. flag should be centered in front of the others or carried to their right. Memorials and burials and funerals. During these services, the flag should be draped over the casket with the blue field covering the head and the left shoulder. The flag must not be lowered into the grave or allowed to touch the ground at any time. Now, for those of you that don't know the words to the national anthem, you should really learn it. If you really want to be considered an American, saying the Pledge of Allegiance and knowing our national anthem are two prerequisites to being a good American. Loving this country and loving God, who gave us this country, is the number one requisite. The Star Spangled Banner was written in 1814 by Francis Scott Key and declared the national anthem in 1931. When the anthem is played or sung, citizens should stand and face the flag to show their respect for the United States. A non-uniformed person wearing a hat must remove it with the right hand and hold it over the left shoulder, right hand, resting over the heart. Those in uniform must stand at attention and salute the flag. Note, if the flag is not displayed, face the music instead. And the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Whenever the Pledge of Allegiance is recited, all non-uniformed persons should stand at attention facing the flag with their right hands over their heart. Persons in uniform should remain silent, face the flag, and render the military salute. These are things that a lot of people may not know. There's some more to what the flag is all about. And the U.S. Flag Code is something that a lot of people should read. So when you buy your next flag, take a look and see if they have one in there or ask for one. It has some interesting facts about the flag and how to take care of it and how to properly display it, as we've already said. Now, the care and respect of the flag. 1. Always display the flag with the blue union field up. Never display the flag upside down except as a distress signal. Always hold the flag carefully. Fold the flag carefully. Never let it touch anything beneath it, the ground, asphalt, the floor, or water. Always keep the flag aloft and free. Never carry it flat or horizontally, I guess except in parades and out on the ball fields. Always keep the flag clean and safe. Never let it become torn, soiled, or damaged. Always dispose of a worn flag properly, preferably by burning it. Now, the suggestion here is to take it to the nearest Veterans of Foreign Wars or the American Legion post. They will properly take care of putting the flag to rest, so to speak. Always treat the flag with respect. Never use it for advertising purposes. Never embroider it on household. I'm trying to read this. Never embroider it on household items or pieces of clothing. Never use it as part of a costume or athletic uniform. However, it is proper to attach a flag patch to the uniform of military personnel, firefighters, police officers, and members of other patriotic organizations, provided the patch is properly affixed. Note, properly affixed is best understood by referring to the flag code. Now we've got some other things that we'd like to always talk about. And a lot of people don't seem to understand it. When is the last time that you actually looked at the Constitution of the United States of America? This is the guarantee of what is in the Declaration of Independence. The Constitution was signed by 56 patriotic statesmen who believed, the majority believed in God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. Therefore, when they came to the United States and were quite aware of all of the transgressions of the King of England, they got together and developed the Constitution of the United States after sending the King of England their complaints in the Declaration of Independence. The King of England did certain things that were really against we the people. So all of our founding fathers did something for you and me. That is why the Constitution has at the very beginning of it, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. They said, we the people. That does not mean we the Congress, we the Senate, we the administration, we the legislators, we the state legislators, we the governors. No, it says we the people. Every American citizen, taxpaying or not, is the government of the United States of America. Our representative government happens to be vested in the Congress, state legislators, and in the President of the United States. And now Article 1, Section 1, all legislative powers herein granted shall be vested in a Congress of the United States, which shall consist of a Senate and House of Representatives. This has been going on for years. But unfortunately, the last, say, half a century, more and more corruption, dishonesty, devious methods of legislation, extra long bills where it's almost impossible for anybody to read them, and bills that are written not by Congress, but by organizations like ACORN and unions and other places. And then Congress just passes them, thinking they're passing something that's good for we the people. This is a total violation of we the people's rights. You don't have a Congress should never pass a bill that they do not read. They should never pass a bill that they do not understand. And they should never pass a bill that the people of the United States, we the people, said no to. But this is happening in certain communities, states, and in the federal government. It is we the people who are responsible for the way Congress works. And when Congress fails to do it, just like our founding fathers did, we need to go ahead and remove them from office, and that comes to the one item that American statesmen really enjoys talking about, and that is the go process. GetOutOfOurHouse.com, and we are referring to the capital of the United States of America. When the House of Representatives and the Senate do not do for the people items that we the people want them to do, then they are not representing we the people. And it is time to remove them on Election Day. The GO process makes it possible for each and every district in Congress, 435 of them at present, to field a representative who is going to be for the people, who is going to be operating by the people, because he is going to be a representative of we the people. And the GOAT process makes it possible for any American citizen 25 years or older and a citizen to run for the office. You do not have to be rich with the GOAT process. You just have to be a statesman. You have to know the issues. You have to know and love this country. And I would say that to be in your favor, know and love and understand God Almighty. Because I tell you, if this is God's country, that's what we refer to it as, because it is so beautiful and has everything that we the people need. And the only way you preserve it is by making sure you put people in office who are like yourself, honest, of the highest integrity and decency, and who will work for you instead of working for money to make themselves greedy rich. The House of Representatives has in the past failed on many occasions to uphold their constitutional requirements. And one of them, and the major one, is they have failed to seal the border between America and Mexico because of the illegal drug traffic. They are totally in violation of their oath of office. Now, a lot of people say that they don't think we can do anything about it. Well, there is something you can do about it. It's called petition the government. That is also in the First Amendment. The right to petition your government. There's another right you have. Your right to go to the polls and vote for somebody who is not a Democrat or a Republican. You can vote for somebody from the GOAT. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have a short intermission here while we switch around, and one of our co-hosts has just come on the line who has something to say, but it will take her about a minute to get take over. So please excuse us for the quiet time now.
Hey, this is Sally. Sorry for the short downtime there. Please keep listening. No, don't go anywhere. We've got plenty of things to talk about, and my co-host Charlie will be back online here in just a minute. In fact, I believe he's back online now. Excuse me. I know that. Sorry for being late. Was unfortunately got to work for a living sometimes, and causes things to overlap. But anyway, I'm here now, and I know that Charlie was talking about the Constitution. The only thing I want to say before we get back to that is please mark your calendars for Thursday, June 2nd. Chris Lafferty is going to be NASCAR driver. Chris Lafferty is going to be on the show. He's going to be a guest of American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, and he's going to... We're going to learn about why he decided to endorse the Tea Party.net. The Tea Party.net is a network for Tea Party groups to help share information, and he has endorsed them free of charge. And I think it'll be interesting to hear what his perspective is on everything that's going on. And on that note, Charlie, I'm going to let you go ahead and continue what you were talking about so I can get caught up on everything.
Oh, you can just go ahead and keep talking, Sally. You're doing such a good job, and I've got to look for something in this book.
Okay. Well, I see that we also, yes,
Oh, ask Larry. Larry can pipe in. Let Larry, because I couldn't access Larry, and he's been holding on there for quite a while. How you doing, Larry?
I see Larry, our co-host, is here too. So what's going on with you, Larry?
Yeah, you got me. I heard the intermission break, and I was going, hello. and I was like, wait a minute, this is going to be dead silence here. No, I was on the line, so to punch into what you were saying. Charlie, a good tutorial, excellent matter of fact, on giving us all a good summary on the flag protocol, and also very importantly, if you have a flag or a neighbor or somebody at school mentions, there's usually a mailbox type. Sometimes they're donated by the post office, depending on American Legion or VFW, where you can. Don't have to walk up and see somebody. You can walk onto the grounds, and occasionally some of them do have a drop box where you can put a flag in, and it'll be secured sometime thereafter, as Charlie was mentioning about dropping off flags. I just wanted to add to what you were saying, Charlie, for folks to kind of get their minds wrapped around, you know, it seems kind of gauche to a lot of folks when they talk about something that they believe they bought into, and why is it important to remind all of us? Well, we got this country called the United States of America, which is 50 states to make up the country of America. And for most of us out there, we're probably pretty aware of the geography to get your mind wrapped around it. It's made up within the North American area, and it extends from the Atlantic Ocean all the way to the Pacific Ocean, where you have state of Washington, Oregon, California, and also it lies between Canada and Mexico. And let's not forget that Alaska and Hawaii is part of course, the 50 states, and all of this adds up to 3,615,211 square miles. Now that's a lot of territory, and if you were carrying the mortgage on that, your property taxes would probably be overburdening you right at the moment. Mm-hmm. Now the United States government owns actually property wise owns more land, that's us the people, than any other landholder or entity, corporation, in the United States of America. So we have that. So why is it important that Charlie Klein brought up about the flag and the Constitution? We're on the cusp of Memorial Day. Now, Memorial Day is often mistaken for a salute directly to the troops and on active duty or in the reserves. And it's fine to do that on Memorial Day. Pay your respects. Absolutely every day, 365 days a year. Memorial Day is set aside for honoring those who have died, what we say in the military, the ultimate sacrifice, who've died in service to their country. Now, Flag Day is celebrated, of course, on June 14th, where we celebrate the nation's flag, and you display that as best you can, respectfully, at your business, your domicile, or where you may be at the time, and what's appropriate to display the flag. So why is it important? What is all about this being American, and what's the flag? What does it all symbolize? Why? It's the glue that holds us all together. It's the symbol that we all look at. We're not looking at one another. We look at that flag, and it mirrors the history of the country. Those who in history died, even when the country was just at the beginning of its formation, even Valley Forge. I even consider Memorial Day in my own personal Valley Forge because they were the reason why our country became. And they fought, and they died. And at the time, way back when, they had no dream of what we'd have today in modern America. But they knew in their heart what they were doing was right. They didn't have a cell phone, an iPod, listen to the radio station. They had oral communication between one another. They wrote, and they understood the value of freedom. So today, why does that not mean as much to some as it does to others? It's because today, if you sat back down in a chair, you might really realize that you have more things that keep you busy, more things that check up on you, your daily business, than ever before. Now, if that's modern, I think our forebears would say we are the ones that may, in a sense, be encumbered by bureaucracy, and we have actually fallen into the very trap that we think that we have our freedoms. Well, freedom is relative based on what your talents and expertise is, where you figure you are in life. But the flag represents the idea that we are all in this together. As Charlie Klein said, to respect that flag is American. And no matter what your ethnicity, ladies and gentlemen, the border that Charlie Klein mentioned has nothing to do with a race issue at all. Do not let anybody mislead you and get you off message. It is wrong, it is disingenuous, and discount them and push them aside if they accuse you of using the flag, coupled with discussions of the border and about the Constitution, about America and our beginnings, to say that this is about one particular group or groups of people. Absolutely fallacious, smile, and just discount it, because that's what they're trying to do to you to minimize the issue. It's about rule of law and the sovereignty of the United States of America, where we decide. When we have a bureaucracy that takes itself, ladies and gentlemen, away from that flag that Charlie talked about, then what do we have? We have a corporate body where we have regulations and rules. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you that we, the people, we either were in our political parties or in our organizations. You run your organizations or your political party by participating in it and by making sure that it stays sovereign, if you will, that it doesn't become holden to elected officials. Now, of course, Sally's going to probably lead us in the rendition of about statesman and politician, and I always like to refer to what the definition of truly what I believe, we talk about statesmen, and we talk about the American flag. If you want to preserve that flag, you want to preserve what you have today to keep it sane. Look to a veteran in your community. Look to someone who knows they had a mentor as a veteran. They don't even have to be a veteran. They understood this coming Memorial Day what it was for the ultimate sacrifice, that they can't be here today. And I can guarantee you, as one World War II generation person told me, he goes, we're going to just wait until we're gone. And that's when things are going to get really hairy. Well, it seems to be that way. Now, for a statesman, I believe a statesman is a person who shows wisdom, skill, and vision in conducting, U.S. state affairs and treating public issues, or one who may be engaged in deciding public policy based on the will of the people. We have, ladies and gentlemen, time and time again, like Charlie Klein has said, if you keep your eye in your mind's eye, the American flag, and you look at that flag with all the people who have gone before you, those who actually died under stress, those who died without seeing their families again, innocent people who were possibly killed, or relatives you might know, in a foreign land before you emigrated here, or from your relatives' stories of where they emigrated from. People who could never realize the full joy and the happiness of life. If you keep your eye on that flag, Mr. Statesman or Mrs. Statesman, you will truly keep yourself on the straight and narrow. Ladies and gentlemen, there's too many today self-affirmation for politicians, and it's considered a derogatory term. Do they look at the flag? We've talked here at American Statesman before about the American flag and the patriotic, and ask you not to fall.
Excuse me, Larry.
Yes.
Okay, excuse me. I hate to interrupt you here, but we do have a caller, and they've been kind of waiting, so let me go ahead. I have a feeling they have some pretty strong opinions about this, too. So, caller, you're on the line.
Hi, is that me?
That's you. Can I get your name, please?
Yes, my name is Hugh. I'm calling from Virginia, and I thank you very much for putting it out there. I hope that we'll get out there more. I am a Vietnam-era veteran. I'm standing in my truth, and I have things that can help this country get back on track, and I'm being ignored by my congressmen and senators. I have letters from them saying to me that I'm a wonderful patriot, but they won't interact with me. They don't want the answers.
Got it.
We have to get them out of there. And
right.
What the Tea Party is doing is not resolving the problem. They're just changing faces. The old boy network is so entrenched. There's so much corruption in big government, big business, and the media. They're all in cahoots, and they're taking things away from us. We're like becoming Mother Russia, and Russia's getting more freedoms like that we enjoy. And this has to stop. And that's why I'm standing in my truth. And it's not just for this generation. It's for all the future generations, as you were talking about. God bless the World War II veterans that saved this country. And what did they save it for? To have it go down the tubes like it's going now? No. So it's time for all veterans to do what we can to root out corruption and to get the people focused on the true values of this country again. And that's what I'm trying to do. There is a little blog, if I can share it with you, that has a letter from President Obama to me related to the economy. There's also a powerful little poem that's in the President Ronald Reagan Library. It's discussed as a weapon against terrorism in an interview that can be downloaded from the blog. To get to that, you would just use the Google search engine and type the word creativity, the number 777.com, and that will bring it up again, creativity37s.com. And also, I was written up in a front page Wall Street Journal article, which was dated Wednesday, April 27th, 1983, written by staff reporter Jonathan Quitney, spelled K-W-I-T-N-Y. In that article, I exposed a former federal government bureaucrat for fraud. I believe he was a CIA operative. At the time, he was engaged to the daughter of Jim Wright, who went on to become the Speaker of the House. But that article put Mr. Wright in the spotlight. I was interviewed by a bureau chief from another newspaper who dogged Mr. Wright until eventually he resigned the speaker position in shame. The whole article came about from one short memo that was sent to me that I activated when I saw things weren't quite right. So there are ways that things can be done, and I'm looking for anyone that can help pick up on me and get me a voice out there to the masses, because I have no risk strategies for business that the same strategies can empower individuals and communities. And it's a damn shame that they are suppressing entrepreneurism in this country, because that's what built it. And these big behemoths started out as entrepreneurs, and now they want to control everything, but they're not. They're already self-destructing from within, and I hope that will hasten unless they truly start taking good care of their employees, their customers, the environment, and the community. And the community that they're in is this country, not China.
Very well said. Very well spoken.
Well, I also would like to call whoever listens to this to the attention of a book. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's called Broker, Trader, Lawyer, Spy, and it's authored by Eamon, E-A-M-O-N, Javers, J-A-V-E-R-S. And just in essence, the book describes retired Secret Service, FBI, and CIA types that have formed little companies. They're in bed with their former enemies from the KGB, and from their active duty years, they can tell through interrogation techniques whether somebody's telling the truth or not. Just based on that simple concept, it gives an example in the book of a hedge fund that paid one of these little companies a fee of $200,000 just to qualify certain information.
Mm-hmm.
Once that was accomplished, the hedge fund company shorted a stock and made $20 million. Now, to me, that's not business. That's casino games on Wall Street. It may be legal, but it certainly isn't ethical and moral, and it's going on in financial markets globally as we speak. So the greed factor has to be looked at. People have to realize that we vote every single day and start paying attention to the products that you're buying. If you want to buy something cheap from Walmart with lead paint on it and give it to your kids to play with, then that's what you're going to have. If you'll spend a buck or two more and get a good quality product made in this country or some other country that really puts out the quality stuff, then that's what you'll have. So be conscious of these things that are in your daily life. And I'm throwing this out to anyone and everyone to help spread the word. And this is how to start changing things in Washington. Every time you come into contact with a politician on the campaign trail, ask him this simple question. Don't tell me what you can do once you're in office, once you're elected. You tell me today, right here and now, what you can do to help this community, this state, and the country. The people have the answers, and the politician that gets the best answers from the people should be elected and be held totally accountable under a microscope to make sure that he does what he says. Otherwise, he's right out of there. They're running scared in there now, but we really got to weed out the garbage that's been in there so long.
Good. You apparently didn't hear the beginning of the show, because take these numbers down when you go back into your computer. Go to www.gooh.com. Go.com. Yep, go.com. In other words, the GO stands for Get Out of Our House, which is the Capitol, and that's for Congress, all 435 of them.
Right.
Get out of our house. Go.com.
That's why I'm standing on my truth. I have documentation. If anybody has an investigative reporter or whoever that can, mainstream media just won't touch me with a 10-foot pole because I tell the truth.
Well,
and I have the documentation. But
okay,
that Wall Street Journal article that was written back in 1983 was before Ross Perot even talked about the lobbyists and special interests.
Uh-huh.
This has been just getting worse and worse and worse. And that health care has to become back, and if they have to put it through one page at a time where everybody understands it and there's no earmarks or special interests on it, that's the way legislation has to be done in the future.
Right. Well, go.com makes it possible for the average American to run for office instead of these people who are selected by the Democrat and Republican parties.
Right.
So if you really want to do something, spread the word about go.com to all of your fellow veterans in your area, and get them to start pulling up, and let's have a we can do a session there where it's a very simple thing. The questions are in the website, so take a good look at that go.com, and there's 100 questions in there that have to do with issues. Take the test, tell your friends to take the test, and then contact Tim Cox, who's the founder, because that whole idea with go.com is to replace our professional politicians. Sally,
right.
I think you got another caller on, or you did have.
Yes, looks like we have another caller who wants to join in. Let me see.
Okay.
Caller, your last four numbers, 1111. Can I have your name, please?
Paul.
Paul, okay. Hey, Paul. What are
Hi,
you thinking
are you?
About all this? Thank you for joining.
Actually, I agree a great deal with what Hugh just said. I would like to say this, and as much as I respect the American flag, and I do think what the gentleman was saying about it being a national symbol is absolute truth, it can't replace the people. And
no.
You'll see people who use it in the 4th of July, the American flag, who will use it in such a way because they don't understand, possibly. It can't replace it. The symbol can't be, you know, okay, we're going to wave the flag today and tomorrow everything's going to be peachy cream.
No.
Because that's not going to happen.
That's not it. That's not the policy.
Right.
You're right. You're right. I agree with you on that. It's the whole thing. The reason I read that is because I wanted people who are not familiar with the how to take care of the flag would at least have some idea as to why we respect it. And with all of this dialogue coming in from different people about it, it could help turn people around and saying is we need to make sure everybody respects the flag. That's the main thing. Respect our flag because that's the flag of the United States. That represents we the people and those who died for our freedoms.
I agree with you, but I do agree with respecting the flag. But the other side of that people might want to realize is that people like John Adams didn't even know what the flag looked like. He described it in a letter to a friend as being green, and he had no idea what it looked like. But he was
right.
A patriot who fought for the country. For the country. So the idea, again, the flag is a wonderful symbol, and I'm wholeheartedly in agreement with you there. But at the same point, we need to understand that that's a symbol to come around and come and do what we need to do as a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, and not just say, oh, it's the 4th of July, here's my flag, and now I'm going to go home and watch the corporations rip me off some more.
I raise my flag almost every day. If it's real bad, windy, or a heavy storm or something, I won't put it up there, which you don't have to if it's your personal flag. You know, most businesses do raise it regardless of the weather. But individuals, according to the code, aren't supposed to do it in inclement weather where it can damage it. They should actually take it down, and that's what I do. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, jokingly speaking, but maybe we should start flying the flag upside down now. You know what I'm saying?
Well, flying it upside down is a distress signal.
Exactly.
even though we are in distress, that would not be appropriate at this time.
Well, I'm being joking.
I know.
That was
a good one. That was a good one because we are in distressful situation right now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I do agree. I agree with a lot of what Hugh was saying. I mean, the big thing that has to happen here is, you know, and we're talking about you guys are talking about all these issues, and there are quite a few of them. I mean, they extend out and out. Now we got the border situation. We have wars overseas, and our troops being placed there and taking care of Korea and so forth. And all these things, you know, a lot these things need to be taken care of. But the first thing that needs to be taken care of is we need to take this country back, and we need to get rid of the people who are buying our politicians, the lobbies, and the people who are buying the politicians. And I'm not talking about, you know, I talk to a lot of American businessmen who seem to think that I'm talking to them. I'm not talking to you. You're an American, man. You're an American. You're in America, by America, for America. I want you to have a 20% tax break, but I sure as heck don't want multinationals who are traveling all over the joint, to be paying 0% in taxes. And getting subsidies and all of this stuff. And why is it there? Is because they've got a lobbyist. You know, I don't know if you all have ever seen The Distinguished Gentleman with Eddie Murphy. It's a great movie where he sits down. He's a con man from Florida, and he uses somebody else's name to get elected. He just cuts the guy's face out. He's got the same name as this other guy. He gets in. And he's sitting there talking to a lobbyist, and the lobbyist is basically saying to him, well, you know, are you for or against this? If you're for it, I can get this group to give you some money. If you're against it, I'll get this group to give you some money. get rid of the money, because that's what's killing it. That's why these people are standing, dancing around all over the place doing nothing, because it's like there's so many money interests and nobody's worried about what you want to do or what I want to do, because the only time they worry about that is when voting time comes. Then they're going to come out and they're going to give you a spiel. You know, it's going to be, yeah, vote for me. I'm great. I agree, again, with you wholeheartedly. The Tea Party is just extending it out. You know, I'm not against the idea of, you know, people gathering together, but the idea of the Tea Parties or Ross Perot or any of them are going to do anything different. The minute they hit Washington, man, boom, they're right in the game. We've got to get rid of the money that is corrupting our government. And we, the people, our forebearers said it. You know, John Adams said it better than anybody else. There is nothing more important than the prosperity of the people. No corporation, no profit, no nothing can be more important than the prosperity of the people and their republic and their ownership of their republic. And that's just the reality. We have to take our republic back and say, you know, we're going to dictate the terms of what goes on here now. Not somebody else who has a bunch of bread who, you know, oh, I want this kind of law and I want that kind of law because it works out well for me. You know, I mean, I can make even more and more money, you know. We need to dictate the terms because Hugh's right. We have the answers.
I'll tell you now, remember what I said about gogetoutofourhouse.com?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That is the procedure. That is a complete procedure to put maybe your friend John Doe, who lives four doors away, who's very politically active. He wants to run for office, but he can't afford the registration fee. The Go process has everything in there, but he's got to be selected by the people. He has to know the issues. And the Go website has 100 questions of issues. So for the potential candidate to go ahead and take the test and save it, and then Go will work out in your area and get a group of people together, like usually about 100 of them in each district, to get together to take the test, and then each table selects the top two people to go to the next level. There's three levels. And once you're through at that final level, and that basically gives you who the people in this group think will make a good statesman candidate, not a politician, because a politician only thinks about the next election.
Right.
A statesman thinks about the next generation, and that's why we love the name of our show, American Statesman, because we want people to become like our founding fathers, willing to give their lives and their fortunes for this great country, just like our military do.
Well, there's another site out there. See, I like your idea of Go. My only worry about it, and I think it's a good starting point. My only worry about it is if you get, you know, the 100 people and they make their pick and these people run, what happens when they hit Washington? Because
the whole thing about this is in the Go process, they have to sign three agreements with the Go organization, so that they're going to actually sign those agreements with their constituents, stating that I will vote the way you want me to vote. I will not vote against, you know. And if he goes and he says I'm going to vote for this, he better vote for it. It's because that's what you're electing him for, to do what you want him to do, not what he wants to do. He goes to Washington and accepts some kind. They tell him, well, now you listen to us and we'll make you rich.
Mm-hmm.
If he goes ahead and does any one little thing like that, he's out of there because he signs an agreement to leave the office immediately.
Yeah, but you see,
go ahead.
Yeah, excuse me. This is Sally. One other point when it comes to the Go process, and this is the part that's really, to me, the most critical, because we know that the fox that guards the hen house in D.C. is never going to go and vote for term limits or anything like that, and they keep rigging the system against the citizens who want to participate in the process. Go is to say that it's term limits. Go is not going to keep supporting. Go is going against the incumbent. That's the whole point. It's not that technically the incumbents can take the test, and if they really truly qualify, they could be a Go candidate, maybe, I don't know. But the whole point is Go, it wants to get rid of the career politicians. Evict the squatters, evict the fossils out of D.C. And that's the whole key to turning this around. Once you start truly flushing out those that have been up there way too long, who have strangleholds on the system, the lobbyists know who to pay up for this and that. They're the ones who get the chair. It's because they've been there too long and they have so entrenched themselves in the system. So Go is the process to help flush out the fossils and the squatters of Washington, D.C., because they're not supposed to be career politicians. Statesmen
right.
are not
well,
career politicians.
You got another caller on, and I think Hugh is still hanging in there, too, so you might want to access that new caller.
I know who that new caller is. I believe it's Nathan, and I hope the other guys, Hugh and Paul, hang on. And Nathan, how are you doing this evening?
Great, Sally. Great, Charlie. Hey, listen, I was talking to a politician, a Republican politician, and he told me I could say this as long as I don't mention his name. He told me what the GOP is going to end up doing, and he said he's not telling me there's any plans about this. He said this is his own guess. What the GOP will do is use the Tea Party like they do the unions, going through the leadership at the top and rally. And he goes, in this next election, you watch every one of the Republican candidates is going to be kissing up to the Tea Party movement, but not you and me. The leadership at the top of the national groups. Because these groups were founded by the GOP consultants and politicians. Because if you remember, all these local all these local Tea Parties sprang up miraculously across this country. There was no politicians a part of it. It was people, and I might add this: they were all founded by women. Okay, but they sprung up at the local level, and then all of a sudden, you got a bus tour. And you know what? The people didn't. Nobody in these local groups decided, hey, let's do a Tea Party bus tour. It was Republican consultants and politicians that came up with that idea. They are the ones that funded it. They are the ones that put the people at the top up there. So you watch. And he said it's going to end up being they're going to treat it just like a union where they smooth with the Tea Party leadership, and then the leadership pushes that idea down, that politician. And this is what he told me. If you want the Tea Party movement to be successful, once a politician is elected, then he shouldn't have nothing to do with the Tea Party. He shouldn't be speaking at the groups. He needs to be doing his job and the Tea Party telling him what to do. So I think here's an idea, and I've already started promoting this. The Tea Party national groups, they need to let Tim Cox or some of his representatives in other states go around to these Tea Party movements, be a part of this, be a part of these bus tours. If they can't, if they won't let go get it, be a part of this, then that right there tells you it's all Republican. It's just another Republican bureaucracy.
Oh yeah, I think something like that will come on down the pike closer to the election. But right now, we're trying to build up the people to get in, go to the Go site and sign up. It doesn't cost you anything to sign up, because the more people that sign up is when the national media, you know, the do nothing media of ABC, CBS, NBC, they may get wind of it and start doing something for we the people. But if not, you still have all of these cable stations that will jump in on it. But we got to get the membership of people to up there in, say, a couple of hundred, two, three hundred thousand, and then it's going to start getting national recognition, because we're going to have a lot of people in there. And that's when Congress is going to start getting worried, and the congressmen in every district. And the whole thing is that we got to get the word spread that Go is the process to restore honesty in government. And once we do this, even if we win only one third of the seats in Congress the first year, we will be making a major, major, step in the right direction. And I'm saying it's possible when you put 435 candidates up there and they're all paid for by those of us who believe in the goal process. And once you read it, you're going to want to put some money into it to help get the right candidates in there.
Well, this is what I see happening. I see when we get close to the election, when GO starts doing its thing and putting its candidates out there, the Republican Party and the Republican radio is going to ignore them. And that's, you know, that might end up, it might end up because the GO will be at a local level and not national. And I hope that if the GO guy doesn't get in there, he at least splits it and gives it to the Democrat, because the Republican Party continues to ignore that the third party candidate or the possibility of a third party always threatens the Republican Party. That right there is the proof that the people have rejected the Republican Party. You know, not one, everything that we did, where we are at right now, not one Republican has yelled impeachment, and yet I hear people list just a list of things as long as your arm that Barack Obama is doing and how it's unconstitutional, and all we have is political mercenaries like Michelle Bachmann jumps up and says she's going in her debate with Barack Obama, she's going to be waving her birth certificate. Well, guess what? Where was she waving her birth certificate before the election or in an impeachment? And she hasn't said anything. No Republicans has said anything about the birth certificate until two books hit the press exposing it as a fraud. So, you know, now they can start talking about it.
Right.
But
can I interject?
Hey, hold on. You're coming in there.
I have... My last name has global recognition. If you'll pick up on me correctly, you'll get the right kind of attention that you're looking for. And already on the blog is a letter from President Barack Obama to me related to the economy. It was dated July 7, 2009. I responded to the letter and followed up numerous times and have heard not one word back from the administration. That's something that's much more powerful than any birth certificate that can be waved around. I don't want to have any dialogue with this president directly, but through a third party, I'll be happy to have dialogue all day long, because he can't answer the questions or even think the way I have for what this country can do. And I really am upset on... Even Bill Gates said if he had to start Microsoft today, he couldn't do it with the restrictions. They're trying to cut the throat of entrepreneurs. That's got to stop real quick.
Well, this is the thing I don't understand, and I'm going to have to keep bashing the Republicans. You know, when Barack Obama first got in there, they laid down, okay, and kept getting kicked and didn't start fighting until health care came up. They really did start fighting, and they sat around from before that saying, well, you know, we got a minority. We just don't have enough numbers, you know. But they were willing to fight when health care came along. So I think they know that health care was the golden goose,
it's all a charade. They're both sides are in the pockets of special interests. That's what has to be addressed. It doesn't matter, Republican and Democrat. My letter of response to the president, I said I didn't vote for him and I didn't vote for McCain. I voted for Ralph Nader because of that fact.
I stayed home. I stayed home.
Well, I voted. I mean...
And that's what I'm going to do in the next election. In this past election, 2000, I voted for every candidate that was close to my conscience, and I think a couple of these guys might have got a couple hundred votes. I don't know, but I know this much. I will never, ever vote for any of those Republicans that are up there right now or the ones that they're bringing up, endorsing, because it's the same old thing, and they will not talk about their policy. They'll talk about what the people want to hear, but they will not talk about NAFTA. NAFTA gave our economy to these third-world dictators, and that is where we're at.
And Ross Perot was right. He says that huge sucking sound when NAFTA is approved will be the jobs leaving the United States, and he was right.
I just recently heard some guys from Mexico being interviewed on a trucker show here on Blog Talk. Truth About Trucking, Sally. Alan Smith. He interviewed these guys that are in the government down in Mexico on NAFTA, and he says, this is what these guys were saying. The money that going into NAFTA is going down there and going, they're subsidizing corporations to not do anything, to not hire, to not produce. And they got all these Mexicans are running across the border looking for work, but it's Mexican men. The only people that can get work in Mexico are the Mexican women and children. You see, they're breaking up the family. They're using NAFTA in Mexico to break up the family and oppress the women and refugee the men. So you know, the NAFTA is just a plan to bring this one world government or this North American Union into being by just uprooting people. And
well,
this is a Republican policy.
Say,
NAFTA is Republican. Clinton signed it because he needed to pay the Chinese back, but it was a Republican bill.
All right, somebody's got to say something.
Was that you?
Yeah, that's me. If I could say something, Eric, you know, I mean, the idea of the multinational corporations, you know, I mean, they're not. And believe me, I'm the first person to say, don't call anybody un-American, but that's not American to me. I mean, if you have a different viewpoint from me, you're in this country, we're all Americans. They're not Americans, they're in China, man. And they're in Indonesia. And you want to know something? They're out of China now. I mean, China. The Chinese wage is rising, and there's inflation in China, and they're starting to move out. They want to go to Vietnam. All these, they're just bouncing all over the place, and they've bought and paid for our system. And we need to take the system back. And when you talk about go.com, I'm in favor of that. But what I worry about, and you were talking about, you know, sending them up there and having the candidate sign something, and if he doesn't do it, you're going to vote him out, and all these people that are entrenched in the system. That's nice, but what if he goes up there and the lobbyist comes up to him and he says, you know, look, man, you know, if you just hang with us for, you know, 2-4 years, you can make more money than you'll ever make in your life. And then if they want to vote you out, screw them.
That's
okay,
why you,
now,
that's why you have to go into the Go. That's why you have to go into the Go website, because it explains everything in there, because Go is going to do this process every 2 years so that,
yeah.
If you got somebody
yeah, but
in there,
what if cool what if all those politicians? What if you go to Go and you go through the whole thing that you explained before, okay?
Right.
And the politician goes up there, the statesman goes up there who you've represented, and the lobbyist gets a hold of him and he said, you know, I got this corporation over here. They're going to make you richer than you could ever be rich, and even if your constituency votes you out, you're going to have more money to stick in your pocket than you would have had before. They may just take that offer because it's corrupt. Corruption, man. It's just,
you know what?
Yeah.
Well,
you know.
But see, that's Paul. Excuse me, Paul. That's the whole key, though, is keeping people from being so entrenched. We cannot keep letting the same people be there for 50 years, four decades, whatever else. And of course, it's only the voter who can truly control that. So the voter has to assume a lot of the responsibility for the mess we're in, because these people who keep reelecting the same people. In 2010, we preached all the time on here, and I continue to preach, reelect no one. If you keep reelecting the same thing, it's that definition of insanity. If you think things are going to change when you keep doing the same thing over and over again, you know, nothing. You are insane. And the whole point is you cannot let any of them be there that long. That is not what – that's a politician, a career politician. That is what's killing this country, career politicians who are self-serving and greedy and couldn't care less about us. We cannot let them stay in office. We must flush them out. Go is a way to –
You got a caller.
Have to make everything
they're
totally transparent.
Okay.
Transparency is the name of the game. And
transparency is the game of the game. And
I want to throw a little something out into this discussion to show you something. I recently had the opportunity to speak with a retired CEO of a major oil company. And I threw something out to him just to see what his reaction might be. And this is on Obama's watch. A number of months back, they had these SEC types making a couple of $100,000 a year taxpayer money supposed to be monitoring Wall Street. Instead, they're watching pornography on their computers all day. Now, they caught them red-handed. They said they were going to discipline them, but they never identified them, and they never said how they were going to discipline them. So I'm sitting here, in my mind, I think, no, they didn't discipline them. They promoted them. They took them off the computers, and they put them at the airports to feel everybody up for real instead of letting them watch the porn on the computers. And you'll notice, too, out of nowhere, all these X-ray machines started popping up. Millionaires were made overnight. And that is discussed in the Wall Street Journal article back in the early 80s. There was a guy that came to this guy that I exposed, this lobbyist, who wanted retractable boat cleats. And the lobbyist said, well, we'll just pass a law. We'll make it mandatory that from now on all manufacturers have to have retractable boat cleats. This is going on every single day in Washington. You think back, one simple little item, the automobile seatbelt. How many of those were made since it became law? They're in every vehicle. How many manufacturers made millions just on that one little item, let alone all these pollution controls and every add-on that has to go on to automobiles and all kinds of other products? So it all has to be looked at and rooted out. And I said to the CEO of the oil company, I said, suppose a middle manager in a large multinational corporation is sitting at his workstation, supposed to be doing his job, and instead is networking and brokering business opportunities that will enrich himself and his family and friends. He said it's already going on. So there's the transparency, and these big behemoths are going to self-destruct from within, and we have to put the spotlight wherever it has to shine, and the cockroaches will run for the hills.
Hey, you know,
I'd just like to say one thing. I have to disagree with you that they're going to self-destruct. They got so much money. I mean, the guy at the computer desk may self-destruct. But
they're not going to have it all the time if we start waking up and realizing that we're not going to buy certain products. Let's just take how they're jerking us around with gasoline. Take one community and say, for the next 3 months, we're going to buy Exxon gasoline, and all the other companies in the community can go to hell. And what's going to happen at the end of the 3 months? How are they going to pull the customers away from Exxon, and will Exxon do something to keep the customers for the next 3 months?
Yeah, but what I'm saying to you is you got to stop it at its source, because most of these people will say, they were on the television the other day with the oil subsidies thing, and they were standing there talking to Congress and saying, the oil executives saying, you need us, we don't need you. And we have to turn this country around to say to these people, all of these multinational companies, we don't need you. There are other people out there that are willing to come up and take your place, and you can just take yourself off into China or wherever you want to go. If you think you can have 50 states and 315 million people to buy your products the way that we do here, you've got to do what you got to do. And I would say this is what I want to end with here. The way we need to do it is we need campaign finance reform in this country, and big time. And there's a campaignfinancereform.org out there, and it's both Alan Simpson from the Fiscal Commission is on there, and a bunch of people are on there, and it's a good idea to just try to get to the point where we support through our donations the people, the politicians or the statesmen that we're going to send up, and that corporations cannot donate anything at all, that they have
That's
to stay away from it.
You know what you just said? Everything, the campaign finance reform, all you have to do is enforce the 24th Amendment. Open parties is constitutional. The last part of all the amendments is Congress shall enforce this amendment with appropriate legislation. They have not. They need to enforce the 24th Amendment with laws like whenever you lose in the primary, you can't jump up and run back over here and get back in the race as a write-in. Okay, they need to make all the laws and think through all the laws. There is no electoral college in the Constitution. You read the 24th Amendment, it says that you have the right to vote for president, vice president, electors of Congress and Senate, and you cannot find that contradicted anywhere in the Constitution. I know you can find it in history. But what you're going to do is people read through that, and then they go back to history and the conditions of when it was made. But you know what? The Electoral College, consistently, the people throughout the Constitution is a position. And keep this in mind. The 24th Amendment is a federal amendment, and it's a federal Congress that's supposed to legislate the laws to govern that. And they don't make the laws. That way they can make it up. Let me go back. I wanted to go back, and then I'll hang up after this. When you were talking about these go candidates, they can sign this thing and go up there. It doesn't matter if they sign their name or give their word. But what I did back whenever Rick Keller lied about, you know, his stance on the military, and he lied about two terms, I called his aide, and I told his aide, because he was going to be running against Alan Grayson, I told him, tell Rick Keller to go to the people and say to them, I told you two terms, but listen, this is why I want to run for three terms, and tell them why. And you know, on the position of the military, I voted against the surge, and I look back on it now, and I was wrong, and the generals were right, and I should have listened to them. You know what? Right there, you are not only a repentant man, but you're a man that makes mistakes, and you grow. But if you ignore the people, we're going to get this snake called Alan Grayson in there, because these people are tired of being lied to, you know. And that's all I got to say is, if they sign a thing saying, and they go up there and they learn something, they need to come back and say, get on Sally's show and tell the people, listen, this is what I thought, and then, you know, hear from the people. And if they say, no, we want you to stick to what you signed, then they say, okay, I'll do what you told me to do, unless it's unconstitutional, and then go on with his life. He's got to be a man of integrity. We all change our minds. But you got to be, you can't just change your mind and then ignore the people. You just can't.
It's like
that.
Dealing with the devil, man. It's like, you know, you go up there and you're dealing with the devil. And I'm not against what Sally was saying. You know, you don't want the entrenched politicians. You want to get them out of there. That's fine, and that's dandy. But the system, and I'm not against the 24th Amendment either and enforcing that, but the system is broken when it comes to, you know, how much money is influencing these people. We should be lobbying our government. Because
well, what the problem is we don't know the Constitution. We know history. We know the way it's done. We know the way things are done. But they don't know. These politicians up there can quote it, but they don't know it. I heard Congressman Price from a Republican from Georgia on the Rusty Humphrey show last week, and Rusty asked him, Congressman Price, why can't we drill for oil? And Congressman Price said, because the president won't let us. You see, right there, he thinks that the president is the boss. Congress has more authority than any branch of the government. And he's sitting there going, well, if the president says we can't do it, then I guess that's why we need to get a Republican in the White House. Because they believe that if the president, they think they don't know the Constitution. You know, they need to read the Constitution and look at the pages and the words on the pages and say, what does it say? Then go back and look at the history and then talk about it. You know,
well, I don't think they care, and I think they have. Most of them are graduates of major colleges, and I think that they've been, you know, they've made their deal with the devil, man. And it's
well,
like, you know, whether it's institutionalized or not. You know, you got to get the money out. You got to get the campaign finance done. We have to, if we galvanize around it and say we want the people to make the decisions in this country about what's going to happen inside our country, inside our borders, and no company is going to sit here and play us as a middleman, us against the middle and China and the whole thing. We're going to decide how our commerce works. We're going to decide who our representatives representatives are, then, you know, then they're in trouble. And I got news for you. They, until we do something like that, they can care less, because as long as the money's there, they're just going to say, okay, all right, we'll send these people down and these people come up. And it's just the same thing over and over. It's a revolving door. And even the entrenched politicians, get rid of them, we'll send some more people there, and we'll bribe them too. And it's just going around and around. Campaignfinance.org, ma'am. We have to, as a group of people, come up and say, no more. You've got to run for election under a certain amount of period of time. You got to tell us what you stand for, and that's it. And you're accountable to us.
On the campaign finance reform, John McCain did that, and guess what? He put everything in his bill that benefits. He's getting rich from it, and all the other things that wasn't important to it, he's living by those laws. Okay.
So making a bunch of laws
doesn't fix it, because they'll make the laws that benefits them and not make the laws that they can jump through. So what we need to do is we need to get back to the Constitution and go. It has people sitting in a circle talking about what does this amendment mean, and they're discussing.
But we can write the law. We the people can write the law and say no back doors here, baby. No more back doors. This is it. This is the way it is. I understand what you're saying.
You have to write a law that is consistent with the Constitution, or the Constitution, like the liberals say, is evolving.
Well, no. I mean, it's consistent with the Constitution. You go back and you read Adams, you read Jefferson, you read these people. The prosperity of the people, the welfare of the nation is the most important effect. We, the people, control our republic. That's consistent with the Constitution. It's not consistent. You know, the forefathers had a major problem with corporations. They had a major deal with corporations. They didn't like them very much. They didn't like banks, and they didn't like corporations. We should be the ones saying who's doing what, entrepreneurship here, you can't do this offshore and then try to get tax breaks here and all of this crapola, man, because, I mean, it's killing us. And they're writing those laws because corporations do that, and then they send their lobbyists over to the Washington, it's dealing with the devil. Politicians have their lobbyists, and they say, here's some money for your campaign, now write the laws we want you to write. And you and I aren't controlling the law, and we need to make the law.
I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to vote my conscience, and if it splits the vote and the Democrats win, then that there is what the Republicans get for holding people hostage, okay? And they need to get out of the Tea Party. This is my opinion. The Tea Party national groups can do what they want, but you know what? They prove what they are about if they won't let Tim Cox tour and teach about not another party, but a voting process of vetting the candidates.
The goal process.
Yeah.
G-O-O-O-H is what Tim Cox came up with. That's the getoutofourhouse.com.
I'm going to drop
goal.
Off and listen.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Okay. No, you were doing good. All right, Sally. Sally.
You there, Sally?
Sally should be there. She's the host.
Yeah, that will.
Okay. Well, the goal process is what we really have to go after in every district, every congressional district, because I really believe, after going to the mock session with Tim Cox and Fred Keith Flaw, that is a way, and that is one way that we can change Congress and do it where we the people select our candidates. You there, Sally?
You got me, Charlie?
Yeah, I've got you. You're okay. And who's that,
okay,
Paul?
No, it's Bobby Bean.
Bobby Bean, okay.
Is Paul still there?
I think there might be a little glitch on the show.
Well, you're doing good tonight, Charlie. You got good debate going on that. And
Oh, it was it's fantastic with all the people that called in.
Hey, Charlie.
Yes.
The way that both sides talk is, let me see this, is we all know that, say a poor guy goes to Washington, okay?
Yeah.
And he doesn't even take a paycheck. You know,
right.
And in my case, we use the U.S. Senate because, you know, that's my seat I look to one
right.
day hold. He actually should come out a very rich man. Even if he didn't go in with a paycheck, with the bribes or learning so much where he could manipulate the law correctly without breaking it, he still would come out a rich man, wouldn't he?
They shouldn't be coming out a rich man with more than what they've actually earned. They should be going in there and earning their $174,000 by working 240 days out of the year, three weeks a month in their district, 1 week a month in Washington, so that we don't have to pay for them going back and forth, which would probably save us billions of dollars over a course of a four-year term. But the whole thing about it is, a person goes in there with the, and then the special interests and the lobbyists come up and they get these contracts that are, have to be inflated to cover the cost of the lobbyists and cover the cost of the bribes.
There's no doubt
that some congressmen have their hands out underneath the table and they're getting money that they're probably skimming off. And handing it to their friends and relatives or whatever for safekeeping.
How many people you think do that, Charlie? I mean, scale.
I know of one, and he's still walking the streets in New Orleans, and his name happens to be Congressman Jefferson. He had $92,000 in cold hard cash that belonged to We the People, the FBI.
Oh, the one in the freezer, right?
The one in the freezer, right? So if
that's definitely cold cash.
That's right.
You couldn't get no colder
cash,
than that.
So what's to stop somebody else from doing the same thing?
Nothing, Charlie.
Nothing.
Nothing at
see,
all.
That's the whole thing. But see, with the GO process, you take that test and you take all those issue tests and you go through the whole GO process, and then the GO, you get to put the GO sign by your name, that you've gone through the process of being an honest candidate. Okay,
well,
the following,
close to
the
honest,
following,
Charlie.
The following,
there's going to be a lot of squeezers in there.
Well, I'm saying,
not everybody
I'm just,
in GO is going to be honest.
No,
I mean,
I know that, but they'll be found out. In 2 years, they'll be found out, and then the people in that district can say, well, no, we had him before. Let's go with another one. Eventually, you're going to have somebody here. It's better than what we got going now. It's better than what we have going now, because right now we have the Democrats. Right now, the Democrats and Republicans pick our candidates for us. The Republican Party.
Yeah.
Huh?
Could we do something better about watching where their money's coming in at? Because that would be a red flag. I mean, Charlie, I've been a poor boy all my life. And if I went up there, I'm sure that after a couple of years, there would be some red flags if my bank account all of a sudden jumps to a couple of $1 million.
Definitely. But it doesn't work that way. They have ways of hiding it.
Well, I agree with that. That's why they make this thing called a lawyer. Some people call them cockroaches. But
that's right. Well, I'm just saying there's so many. But the GO process is the only chance that America really has of changing the way we do business in Washington, because the Democrats aren't going to change it, and neither are the Republicans. And I really do believe that these companies that pay a lot for the lobbyists to go after these certain bills, that there has to be an inflation on it, because when Katrina hit in New Orleans, a house, when a person wanted to destroy an old house to build a new one, it used to cost $8,000 to $12,000 to do that. After Katrina hit and a person had to get his house destroyed, FEMA was paying anywhere from $24,000 to $36,000 for the same house.
Now, Charlie, I had a friend
house.
who does they're called 1,200 foot, 1,400 foot spec homes. It's called a tilt wall construction. I don't know if a lot of people know what tilt wall construction is.
But does that have to do with what I'm saying about New Orleans?
Yeah, it will in a second here, Charlie, because follow it. So he went up to New Orleans to try to make a couple of bucks, you know, with his tilt wall construction to get these people some homes. But at the end of it, it got down to greasing the people. He did have a good system, and the all-wall system would work, and they gave him gratitude and all that. But he didn't quite. They had their hand out, Charlie, and that idea was a good idea. But if it didn't have that extra $15,000 to $20,000 per house to help other people in the area, your commissioners or the people in the government, that thing could have been made out of gold, and it wasn't going to float, you know.
He should have wore a wire.
Hey, Charlie, yeah, you got right about that, but you keep in mind, as I've bumped heads with some big organization, you know, this job comes with a bullet.
That's right.
And don't you think for a minute you won't be sitting down in a chair. I've been in these chairs all the way to FDLE and the Sheriff's Organization of Florida.
I'm not worried about anything like that, because this country is too important to me to worry about something
country.
Like that. And I tell you what.
Don't you think they won't lean on you, Charlie? I've been leaned on for just children's issues. But let's go for the U.S. Senate seat for a minute. Say if a gentleman comes up and he runs for the first couple of years for free. Not the whole six-year term, because a man's got to eat, right, Charlie?
Yeah.
But, you know, what would the people give the man? Room and board, some dental, some insurance, if the man ran like that? You know, because really, he's running for nothing. But, you know, the man's entitled to a decent car, some dental, some, you know, maybe glasses, or the man's entitled to 3 or 4 good meals a day. And, you know, not to be outrageous, they can be peanut butter and jelly, you know, a couple of them. But the money wouldn't be there. I mean, I'm almost thinking about running for nothing, Charlie, just to serve my country. But, you know,
If a person goes to Washington, they should be able to survive on $174,000 a year. Actually, they should be able to survive on $100,000 a year.
No, Charlie, that's an expensive place. I'm going to have to, you know,
I don't care if it is expensive. They can stay home for 3 weeks out of the month and take care of their constituents and listen to their constituents, go to Washington for 1 week, and that will reduce the cost, because their expenses are paid while they are in Washington.
I want to live in a clean place. You know, I want to live in a clean neighborhood.
You go there for one week, you get a decent hotel. You stay here for 3 weeks and you're home with your wife and your family.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the average person now. I'm not talking about you specifically.
Yeah.
I'm saying a person who runs for office should be willing to work for $100,000 a year with expenses paid for while he's in Washington. Work at home for 3 weeks, work in Washington 1 week. 240 days, 10 vacation days a year, Christmas holiday off, Easter holiday off, and July 4th. And I'll tell you,
money, because the job comes with a bullet, you know? You can't get
the
shot.
Bullet, no, the bullet, no, nothing comes with a bullet in Washington. Unless you put it there. Unless you decide to put
Charlie,
it there.
You start going up there and you start picking on Allah and you start talking about Ground Zero. You start picking on the Florida Sheriff's Organization when they do wrong. You start pointing out the imperfections of education.
Then I got a suggestion. I got a suggestion for you. Don't run for office.
It's my children. And those people I've taken on before, and I've had laws passed to help the children. But you can't run from them, Charlie. We can't do that. Now, if they silence me, that's not a good thing, too.
Well, I'm not going to comment on this thing here, because we are talking about doing what has to be done for our country.
We're talking about putting people in position to speak up for the people. And
that's
sometimes
right.
You have to speak up against these big organizations.
We're speaking up against them right now.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you something.
Hold on.
But you got to do it on the floor. You got to do it on the floor of the Senate.
Sally, are you back?
Indirectly, the Speaker of the House was brought down because I put some heat on him. It can be done.
Yes, it can.
And I'll tell you what. What are we all? We're spiritual beings. We're playing a human game.
We're going
back into spirit. Let's wake up these people and show them that, and tell them that you can't take the toys with you. So you better learn that you're here for a purpose, and what
yes,
kind
you
of
cannot.
Life are you leaving for your grandchildren?
You
That's
did
right.
good on that. You did very good, because this is not about the objects. This is about tomorrow's future for us. So, yeah, you know, coffins, you can't stick houses and toys in a big coffin.
What did all our forefathers die for, so that we could watch this country go to hell?
No.
But they spoke up against organizations like the Sheriff's Organization, FDLE, the FBI when they stepped out of bounds, the Education Department.
You've got
to be willing to point out.
The corruption is rampant all over. You don't know me yet. I was arrested from my bed. I did nothing wrong. And when it got to court, the prosecutor dropped the arrest and the charges. And I got a letter from the county police. One of his police officers set me up in a crazy scheme.
It happens. I've been down this road. I got a book that's coming out.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But I faced everything head on and asked for empowerment from the Creator, and I'll put it right back on him, and that's what I'm doing.
No, I only bow to my God and my Queen, my Creator, as you would call him.
Right.
Now, you do good. I like listening to Charlie. This is one of the better shows you guys had on, but when you get on the floor, you're going to have to point out the imperfections of these other organizations sometimes.
Well, again,
I like to hear it.
If you can pick up on me, now we got Memorial Day coming up, and I'll show you some of my heritage. Just my last name has global recognition, and it's a company in America. My father manufactured commercial refrigerators and freezers that bear the name Trawlsen, T-R-A-U-L-S-E-N, like Nancy. And you'll see in the company history, if you Google Trawlsen and Company Incorporated, that he started the company in 1938 during the Second World War. He was manufacturing metal containers to help preserve food on the front lines. As a little boy, I recall touring the first nuclear submarine, the Nautilus, because he had his refrigerators on there. They're in PXs, hotels, hospitals, schools, restaurants, all around the country and around the world. My mother was a supermodel, and she actually posed for wave recruitment posters during the Second World War. So I have entrepreneurism and patriotism running in my blood. And as I speak to you, I reside in a little town called Ashland, which is about 20 miles north of Richmond. Ashland bills itself the center of the universe. I'm self-proclaimed here the heartbeat of America, and known as that in the National Museum of Patriotism. And Ashland is in Hanover County, Virginia, which is where Patrick Henry grew up. And I feel like Patrick Henry. I regret that I have but one life to give to my country, because it's falling apart right now, and I can't find people to stand up with me.
No, someday it's lonely, isn't it? Someday it's lonely. But tomorrow we get up and we stand again, right?
Well, again, too, we shouldn't be in all these wars. That's, again, the manipulation of the multinational corporations.
We're going
to go to war. Let's go the way we
did
it in the Second World War. No holds barred. If you're going
to
be against this, you're not going to be around long. Drop a couple of more A-bombs here or there. Just wipe out whatever we have to wipe out to start over.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm so sick of these limited wars and the fear. We have terrorism since the beginning of time, but what are we doing in this with this Gaddafi guy? I think we got a little guy 90 miles south of Florida called Cuba, Castro. We put him into power. Does everybody forget that?
How long have you been down there? About 12 presidents, counting on some of these presidents served. The man
when healthcare passed, he laughed. He was so happy to see that because his country has it. And look how well they're doing down there.
Recently in the last year, Castro did admit, it was on a major show, that he did make a mistake and he should have went communism, and that is documented on a major show over here. At least the man realized that the communism wasn't the right way to go. It was nice to see that man admitted that he made a mistake.
Yeah, but again, I'm going to go back to business. They're ruining our image all around the world anyway. They go into these third world countries and rip all the resources out. No wonder we're the ugly American.
Yeah, that's a lot of truth. I have a friend who sells antique woods, and he said 20, 30 years ago, if you said you were an American, people looked at you, man, very proud, very great country. He says today when he picks up the wood, he keeps his mouth shut.
That's exactly right.
And he says
so
that
we can change that.
Oh yeah, yes we could. We do have that. We do have that opportunity, but we are going to have to get back down to the basics of keeping our word, honor, transparency. We both agree on that, right?
Exactly. That's one of the biggest things. And look how much transparency President Obama gave us as soon as he came into office with that health care and everything else he's done to us.
Oh, he didn't treat us any better. You couldn't stand it, you know? you know, what's that old Cool Hand Luke, boss? I can't take you being friendly to me or something when the boss turns up there and hits him again. And if you guys ever remember the old Cool Hand Luke show, you know, but he couldn't take the happiness any longer, you know?
My whole arrest situation is sitting in the White House, too, because it happened months before his friend, Professor Gates, was arrested at Harvard trying to get into his house. I tried to interact and be involved in Beergate, which accomplished absolutely nothing. I would have gone in and said, when the police come knocking, you cooperate, because if you don't, you're going to get tasered or beat the hell out of, and they'll trump up charges on you. But none of that ever got there.
They'll do that, okay, sir. I spoke up for the bullying harassment bill to help children in the state of Florida. And it took me 9 years, and there's a lot more to it. But like I said, my book is called The Broken Patriot. And it goes over me speaking up against the big organizations. Today, I have a better rapport with these people. And some of them got weeded out. But you speak up against government, it's a lot tougher than people think it is. I mean,
when you have other people looking at you, and that's why I feel comfortable because I got them looking at you.
I have documentation that will show my sheriff, my county, actually in documented lies on a child abuse case. It was my child, and I bring it as high as I could, and Charlie Crist just folded it up when he was in office and handed it back to me. I went over to FDLE, who I have great respect for, one officer named Tom Bellinger. But they actually, what I would consider a threat. You know, things could be found. Things could happen. And I was told to, you know, basically back off this situation. I came back a few years later and got the bill passed. But nothing was ever done to the lawyers of the sheriff's organization and also the Florida Bar. What I can show you in documented form. These people still kept their jobs. The bad news is they would have done something that would have gave the more common people, made you feel better that they are trying to clean up the act. But so much is underneath the cover-up. And, you know, an officer or a teacher in the state of Florida, in the United States, will sexually or hurt a child every day. And it might sound like a strong word to throw out there, but that's in the real world. What will happen to that officer? Most likely, if that child wasn't hurt real bad, sovereign's immunity, the family get $100,000, sign a few waivers, silence the family, that officer will be demoted, and he'll never practice being an officer again or a lawyer. And that's all that's going to happen to that person.
All right, I'd like to get back on our topic for today, which is basically the flag and our military.
The flag, Charlie, you're talking about the flag. When you're not, this transparency needs to be cleaned up. We need so much more of it from the big organizations, the teachers' union, anything to do with the big one. Because it's the old saying what Reagan said, big government, we lose our freedom, right?
Right.
Our liberty. That's what Reagan said. Big government, we lose our. And we have to look at these big organizations and put them underneath the microscope.
You to look at me because I have. In the archives of Washington, I was falsely accused of an assassination plot against President Reagan way before Gaddafi was in the news. It was all BS. I was interviewed by the Secret Service, and it's all there. I'm standing in my truth. You got to pick up on me.
Uh-huh.
No, well, my name's Bobby Bean, and my Gmail is bbean.
Yeah, I don't have email, but again, you can see this blog if you Google creativity.
Okay.
777.com. Now, I'll tell you another interesting thing. My father was married 7 times. If you Google Regine, R-E-G-I-N-E, Trawlson, T-R-A-U-L-S-E-N, in 1996, she married the controller for New York City, William J. Diamond. They were married in Gracie Mansion by Rudolph Giuliani, who was mayor at the time.
Wow, 7 times. Wow, I need to have the damn gift cards he's got to hand out.
Well, he had a big manufacturing business. He could afford it.
Well, apparently Dad had a lot of things manufactured, okay?
Yeah, he certainly did. He was his own man.
He enjoyed life. Bless his soul, you know?
Also, I would like to point out I have a friend who is a write-in candidate for president and has been in the past, just to throw that into the mix. His site is Light Party, LightParty.com. You might approach him with the GO stuff you're talking about.
No, well, the GO does have some strong legitimacy to it, okay? What's actually, as Charlie and Sally do for the House, it's about the best bone out there to grab right now. Is it the tool, the true answer? Maybe not, maybe could be. But it's a damn strong answer for the situation we're in. And it will possibly help, you know. And we can't keep going down the same road. I'm sure we all agree on that, right, Charlie? Can't do that. But you're an excellent person on the show tonight, sir.
Well, again, I'm reaching out wherever I can because something has to be done. And I'm guilty, which the majority of people were. I worked low-level jobs all my life, paid my taxes, and I watched the commercials on TV when I got close to election day and just cast a vote for whoever I thought was doing the best spiel or whatever, but that's not what it's all about because both sides of the fence are corrupt now and it all has to be looked at and straightened out.
And that's where the GO process comes in because that's
right.
The only chance that we really have is GO.com. Because
Charlie, we got other things. God's looking over Bobby's shoulder all the time.
God is a part of GO, if you know, because everybody that's involved with GO that I know believes in God, and they are very patriotic statesmen.
That's good.
And that's why and that's why we keep pushing the GO process here because so many people don't know about it. We just had three callers now from different states that have now know about GO. That's because we mentioned it on this show, and in fact, I'm going to be working at a convention for homeschool children. That's here in the Orlando area, and that's going to be this coming weekend, Memorial Day weekend. They're going to have graduation, and I'm going to be at that place. And this GO process is the only thing that I can see where we, the people, can select the person we want to put on the ballot. That will have more of a statesman attitude and not be a politician who only thinks about the next election. So now, before we get too far to the end of the show, there's something that I would like on this coming up on this Memorial Day because it's something that I came across a long time ago. And we do have a veteran still on with us, right? You're here. You're still here?
Yes.
Okay. Maybe you remember this one, too. For all the people in this great country, on this Memorial Day, you're going to see veterans walking around, veterans wearing hats. You're also going to see us having our flags in honor of those who died for this great country. Over 100,000 brave American men and women are buried in cemeteries in Europe. That was just for the European theater. Totally in America, we lost over 1.1 million patriotic and brave men and women from the Revolutionary War all the way to the present. And it's growing. It's growing because it is for your freedom and your liberty. Liberty and freedom is not free, even though the word freedom says free. No, freedom costs money. Freedom costs, above all, it costs lives. It costs 1.1 million plus brave men and women to die so that you could walk the streets of America freely, so that you can ride your bicycles, watch television, go swimming, drive a car, and do all of the good things that come by living in America and living in a free world. And it's all caused by the sacrifice of over 1.1 million plus brave American men and women who died from the Revolutionary War to the present. So this Memorial Day, I would like all of you to remember one thing, that when that flag comes down that roadway in a parade, or you see it, or you hear the national anthem, stand proudly with your hand over your heart and stand at attention. Do not sit down. Take your hat off and put it over your heart while they're playing the national anthem and as the flag goes by. That is what a true American does, because that is your way of thanking the veterans who died for your freedom. And also remember one thing, ladies and gentlemen, that every person who goes into the military takes an oath of office or takes an oath to support the Constitution. And let me read that to you. Let me read the oath that every military person takes. I do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, and that I will obey the orders of the President of the United States and the orders of the officers appointed over me according to the regulations and the Uniform Code of Justice, so help me God. Now, on top of that, just as a little side note, when we sign our names to this document that says we are now in the military and we pledge to, we make this pledge, we have just signed a check made out to the people of the United States of America for the value of our lives. That is what a person in the military has done, regardless of where he or she is stationed, what they are doing. They signed a blank check for the value of their lives made out to the people of the United States that they are going to honor and protect your freedom and this great country.
And we should honor.
And so Memorial Day, please make sure that when you see the people in the military uniforms, and from now on, thank them for their service and honor the flag of this country, because this flag represents we the people. It is our emblem for the future, the past, the present, and the future of this great country. Don't let it get desecrated.
Can I add the little something that
I... Go right ahead and add, Hugh. It's perfect,
okay,
because I know you're a veteran also.
Tomorrow will be the third anniversary of my launching a mission statement, and it's called Veterans Uniting America. And this is in the archives on C-SPAN TV's Washington Journal show on Saturday, May 24th, 2008, at approximately 9:05 a.m. And the guest on the show was a Dr. Manning Marable, who was a Columbia University professor. He just recently passed, of African studies, and considered one of the most intellectual people in the country. And this mission statement can be adopted by anyone. There's no organization, but it's not that long. I'm going to read it now. Veterans Uniting America, we call upon all living veterans across America to root out corruption, identify problems, and then work towards solving them. This combined effort will get America back on track and lead our country toward heights of prosperity never before seen, so that America may truly and firmly stand as a beacon of light, an example for the rest of the world, with liberty, freedom, and justice for all. We are asking for anyone and everyone to contemplate the following poem and always act in peaceful ways. Caring, sharing. If you dare to care, then share. If you share, pay heed. God will reward every good deed. We also ask all veterans to tell as many people as they can to Google the following: the Venus Project in Venus, Florida. And this is from the Venus Project. At the beginning of World War II, the U.S. had about 600 first-class fighting aircraft. We rapidly overcame this by turning out over 90,000 a year. The erroneous question at the start of World War II was, do we have enough funds to produce the required implements of war? No, we did not have enough money or gold, but we did have more than enough resources. It was the available resources that enabled the U.S. to achieve the high production and efficiency required to win the war. We thank each and every veteran for your service in the past and for anything you can contribute today and every day hence, even if it is only a prayer. Always remember, United we stand, divided we fall. May God bless you. May God bless America. And thank you for allowing me to read that.
Oh, you're quite welcome. That is absolutely beautiful.
I love it.
And I think it's absolutely appropriate at this time because this is the Monday before Memorial Day, the day
hey,
that
Charlie,
we should.
Hey, Charlie, can you read Gettysburg?
No, I don't have it with me, but you can read it if you've got it.
No, I don't have it now. I'm not at the dang other end of the. I'm at the other end of the. I'm doing cattle right now. And,
okay,
I will keep that closer because Gettysburg was always a great 296 words Lincoln laid down, and it changed a lot of attitudes at that time.
Well, okay. I don't know what happened to Sally. But according to her, her phone has been muted for some reason, so I'm just waiting for her to come back on. But Hugh, do you have any other things to say about Military Memorial Day? Because this is appropriate time for us to talk about it.
Yes, there are a lot of veterans organizations that need volunteers, and I can drive, but I can't afford to have a car. I thank God that being 20 miles from the VA hospital, that they have the disabled veterans van service that transports me to my doctor's appointments. And
mm-hmm.
they rely on volunteer drivers. A lot of them happen to be veterans, and it's funny. Usually you'll find volunteers driving the vans also
right.
drive for Meals on Wheels and other stuff. It just seems to be something in a person. But when you do something like that, you'll find a bliss in your heart, and that's what caring and sharing is all about. And you're being blessed when you're blessing others and helping others. So
if
you understand that the true principle that I mentioned earlier, we're spiritual beings, when you feel that bliss, you'll want to do more, and you'll be blessed more. The laws of attraction are so simple and basic that all you have to know is you put out good, you'll get good back. But if you're going to try and control everything, the control is just going to eat you up eventually, and that's what's starting to happen to these big behemoths. And even I've heard the stories of the underground cities when Mother Nature starts getting worse, they're going to run down there. If they think they're going to go down there and survive hundreds of years, they'll go mad, number one. And also, if they have all this money that they're going to leave to their grandchildren, suppose they piddle it away or blow it on drugs or whatever. So, you know, we're in the here and now. Do what Warren Buffett said, you billionaires. Circulate the money in programs that will bless others. It'll come back to you. The laws of attraction are very simple. And let's not spill any more blood in political games overseas. If we're going to go overseas, we'll go over and take out what has to be taken out.
Right.
I put 4 years in the Air Force during Vietnam, and I'm sorry that we didn't do full force over there and like we were supposed to. These limited warfares, nobody
right.
wins. It's
no.
only the ones that make the munitions, and that's
well,
what we
bless,
have to look
right.
at, too.
Well, God bless every veteran who served
exactly.
in all of the wars, because all of the wars are caused by or called to order by the President of the United States or by Congress. And therefore, we as in the military will follow the orders of the President of the United States. And then do what our officers say. So if they say we go to war, we go to war. And there's no turning back on it. We go there because the reason, we don't question it. We just go do what the job is. Just like they went after Osama bin Laden. Those Navy SEALs, that special force, went in there and did the job that they were told to do. And they did it excellently. And they all came back. And let's see, you got to give them all the credit in the world because they executed it properly, and they were told to do it. But this war that's been going on for 10 years, yes, it could have been probably ended a lot faster if they would have just kept bombing the various areas that they thought the Al-Qaeda and Taliban were in before they sent any troops on the field, like they did with Iraq. They bombed the hell out of Iraq, and then they sent the troops in. This time, they should have done the same thing with Afghanistan. Bombed the living daylights out of it. But they went ahead and sent troops in too fast. And the situation in Libya, that is all on President Obama. And, as far as I'm concerned, a violation of the Constitution. And another reason why Congress, and another reason why the whole Congress should be removed, because they do not take action against an elected official. They didn't do it against Jefferson in New Orleans, who had $92,000 in cold hard cash in his freezer. They didn't do it against Charlie Rangel, who didn't pay taxes or even declare the income off of his Santo Domingo property when he rented it. And he was on, he's on the Ways and Means Committee that works on and develops the laws for IRS, and he didn't know about it. That is the biggest bunch of BS coming out of any congressional mouth that I have heard in years. But they, Congress didn't do anything about it. They let it slide. And what else? The late Senator Stevens gets a house redone for $250,000 from somebody who got a contract. Definitely suspected of bribery. They didn't prosecute. Why? Because he was in the Senate for so long? Nobody is above the law, not even the Supreme Court. They may rule on the law, but they are not above the law. So if they violate the law, they too are subject to the laws of the United States. And we need to start holding all of them. And now, with Congress, we should get rid of every one of them because they have condoned the actions of Johnny Sutton regarding the two border agents who were put in prison for going after a drug dealer. So what does that tell you about Congress? Are they in the pockets of the drug dealers and the drug cartels? Because only 171 of them signed the petition to release the border guards. It should have been 536 plus signing the petition to remove them, and that included President Bush. And the judge. What is the judge getting? Is the judge living like a queen because she ruled against the border guards? Johnny Sutton and the judge actually went after our protectors in favor of the drug dealers. Now that to me is a crime in itself. But who's going to go after it? These are the things that are going wrong with the country, ladies and gentlemen. Our Constitution is being torn apart by laws that are illegal laws. They are not constitutional laws, and they are made by, guess who? Congress. Congress makes laws to circumvent laws. They don't make laws that they will uphold in most cases. And it's time to change them. And the way to change them in a nice, easy revolution is by voting them all out of office every 2 years until we get the right people in there that we want. And then only allowing them to stay in there for a total of 6 years. One term for Senate, 3 terms for Congress. And the GO process makes it happen. That's www.gooh.com. Tell your friends about it. If you can tell 10 friends about it, and they tell 10 friends about it, and they all sign up for it, we will build the numbers up that we need to unseat all of those who we believe are corrupt, dishonest, distrustful members of Congress. And then we can start.
The Heartbeat of America fully endorses the GO Project.
That's right. I mean, it's time, ladies and gentlemen, and this is the solution to the corrupt problem that we have in Washington and also in your state legislators, because the GO process works for everybody running for office. It's just that we're starting with Congress, and we can do also the legislators. So go to thego.com and spread the word. Send, email it to all of your friends. It's a wonderful situation. It's a wonderful idea. And it is reasonable for we the people to take back our country and our government. Because actually, ladies and gentlemen, each and every American is a part of the government. We, the people, are the government. Congress, state legislators, are our representatives who were elected to do what we wanted them to do. So this is becoming the ending of the show, ladies and gentlemen. and with everybody, I wish you all a very memorable Memorial Day, and blessing our troops, bless our those who died for this great country. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless all of our patriots who are there for America. And ladies and gentlemen, when you vote, vote smart and enjoy this great country and its freedom. And thank a veteran and thank the military for their service and for their sacrifice. Do this and our country will get back to where it was many years ago. A country that is run by honest people, people of the highest integrity, and people who are not greedy, and people who believe in we the people, not in themselves. That is what we're looking for. God bless.
God bless.
Good show tonight. God bless us all.
Mm-hmm. Thank you guys for calling in. It was great.
Have a good night, Charlie.